Xbox podcast. Hello, and welcome to a E3 edition of The Cursed Checkpoint. Tonight is our first episode. We're going to relive the highs and lows of the 2012 E3 Microsoft press conference. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight, we've got Josh Lee.
Hello.
Cole Monroe.
Hello.
And Ethan Moses.
Hello.
That'll work.
Not sure.
All right, gentlemen, let's dive into it. So Microsoft had their press conference first. First one's out of the gate, officially anyway. And what stood out to you from the show? Josh, I want you to kick us off.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. You know what? This is tough because there's a gigantic list of stuff. But I'm going to go ahead and say Halo 4. They started off the show with it, which was weird.
Yeah.
Because it was like the best thing they showed. Yeah. They showed a ton of it. Like single player stuff, campaign stuff. We'd seen a little bit of the multiplayer, and they just dropped in like, here's the story set up, here's a live action movie, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that looked pretty nice.
Yeah, and then here's some of the game, and here's the enemy you're gonna be, like, they just gave so much information, saw a bunch of gameplay, you got to kind of see what what they've done with the graphics engine, which was pretty nice. And you see the new Forerunner enemy things that are obviously Transformers.
They were glowing orange. And well, it was so weird because they started out, the first enemies he comes across are actually Covenant forces that get obliterated by these strange new enemies. And I also kind of liked how a little bit of the trailer, and he threw a stickier grenade at one of the flying guys, and the guy just threw it right back at him.
It's
just kind of like, your weapons from up till now really won't work on us. And then he picked up a Forerunner weapon, and Cortana identified it as the Forerunner weapon. And I was pleasantly surprised. I kind of started to write this game off, and it has enough graphical improvements to kind of catch my eye candy attention. And the Forerunners make sense as far as the new enemy, and hopefully they kind of dominate the show. This isn't just like, I would hate to see it kind of go in the direction of you're battling the Covenant, the Flood, and the Forerunners, and, you know, just make it one big party. I'd rather make the Forerunners a kind of a big deal, but I liked where it was going.
I disagree, man. I mean, think about the chaotic menagerie of violence that would happen if all of those groups came together and were just like, let's fight! Like, that, I would play the game if it was like that.
I guess, let me rephrase then. I'm not against the idea of fighting multiple people, multiple enemy types, but one, I hate fighting the Flood, and two, I'm over the Covenant at this point.
I've got an idea for you. A prediction. Master Chief gets a Jackal buddy halfway through the game that he rolls with for two levels, then he dies. It'll be cute. You'll be like, oh man, this is Jackal, and he like, you know, without being able to speak to him, I guess they sometimes speak English, don't they?
They squawk, don't they?
Yeah, I think they have to say words sometimes. Whatever. Anyways, so he joins up with the Chief, and they have like a little, it's kind of like a buddy cop kind of thing going on, and maybe a high five in there. He's really cute. And then he dies, and it's really sad, and then you, like, want to avenge him, and it motivates you for the second half of the game.
Wow, 343 is really taking this in a different direction.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they haven't said that they're going to do that yet, but,
Sounds like Willow.
I'd like to see that.
I'm pretty sure you saw the design doc for
it. I looked at some white papers.
I'm still kind of ticked that they're straight up calling it Halo 4, though. Like, I don't know.
What?
I still want them to kind of... I just want them to take it and then all new with it. But maybe they have to with continuing it with Master Chief. I don't know.
Was the Forerunners mentioned in 3?
It's in all the, like,
lore. They've been in the lore.
Yeah, but they haven't ever shown up. Like, okay. And aren't they supposed to be, I'm bad on Halo lore.
So they're like the Reapers.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't think about that. I think you're right.
Destroying anything, but yeah. I mean, they're the,
no. But
the
mysterious... they left some big things in space for other people to find, right?
Yeah.
Well, didn't they build those to kill the Flood? Did they build the Flood? Did they create
I think they built the Halos.
Did they build the Halos?
They built the Halos, yes. But the Halos were supposed to eliminate the Flood.
No, so they're more like the Protheans, then, I would say.
Yeah. But bad.
Yes.
Supposedly. Or maybe they're just friendly and they have a weird way of saying hi, you know, like, hey, here's a fucking grenade, man. Welcome to my planet. Why are there robots in the jungle? That's new. That's a new thing. They seem robotic and they're in the jungle. I like that. I kind of like that. They're not a robotic city, you know, just in the jungle hanging out with their monkey friends. I like that a lot.
Jungle bots.
Yep. Jungle bots, man.
Careful.
Respect.
So, Ethan, you even sound kind of up on this for not the biggest Halo guy.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, just looking at some of the things they've added to it, and I like Master Chief, and I just, I think that because of the succession in which I played the other Halo games, I've had enough time in between, playing halfway through 3 and then this one that, I mean, I kind of, you know, I was kind of feeling it. I like the setting. I think you're right about the graphics. Like, they have done enough to just kind of entice me a little bit more onto it. And again, the Forerunners, I kind of like that idea of coming back to the beginning, because I mean, they were kind of the species, if you will, that more or less established what the series is about. And I kind of like that whole, you know, that kind of almost legacy type thing, is you're finally confronting, the creatures that started it all. And I think that's kind of cool. So I'll be interested to look at this. I don't know if I'm sold on it yet, but I'm sure. More, you know, open to it.
Well, plus if they're, you know, AI-based creatures, somebody had to make them, so it even opens up more history if you want to keep going in that direction. Well, so
they also dropped a little hint about Cortana. They had a little clip of her saying something about AI deteriorates after 7 years, and she's been active for 8.
She
freaks out in that trailer.
Yeah.
But if that's how AIs deteriorate, because she's never looked better, just in my
I think they showed there were opinion. 2 side boob shots in that trailer. That's just awful.
What does that become AI nudity is my question.
Well, you know what? I'm going to make another prediction. I bet Cortana gets some kind of body in this one.
I would, or at least in this trilogy, I would be willing to wager that.
Using Forerunner technology, Cortana becomes a person and has sex with Master Chief.
I was going to say, I can see it going the tragic route too, so...
I went in a completely different direction. I imagined there'd be like a dinosaur shaped robot she'd climb into, and like that's what it would be. But
I wanted some dinosaurs.
Body.
Now,
yeah.
Chief, now you can be inside me.
It's about time.
I'm gonna
Justin.
Next. I liked it. my next showstopper, the guys that stole the show for me. Was when Matt and Trey came out after the South Park The Stick of Truth trailer. Just because up till that point I was really kind of worn out by all the presentations. I think it was right after the Wrecketeer demo that had the awkward Kinect demo that the presenter's way too excited and reading straight from her lines, and Matt and Trey come out and just kind of wing it and also kind of make fun of everything that's going on with, you know, a line about how now haven't you always wanted to play South Park on your TV and on your tablet and on your phone and on your fridge from inside the fridge or something along those lines, and that like broke the mood completely for me. That was fantastic. But that trailer was unnecessarily epic, and I loved
it. It was awesome. Yeah, looked pretty awesome.
It's hard to tell like what's actual gameplay in that trailer for me. Like, it just looked like the show, obviously they were going for.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what they were going for, but it's like, is this just straight like video or is it actual gameplay or what? Which is, a credit. It's a credit to the developers that they can, you know, they were successful at that.
And that's what Matt and Trey, like the one like constructive thing they said was they've set out to, they want to make a South Park video game that looks like South Park, the show. And it looks like they're pulling that off, but we'll see how it comes along from Oblivion. But it was also just interesting that while they're featuring this game in the Microsoft press conference, like it just wouldn't have been one I would expect. I mean, this is, it was kind of random in that regard, but I was excited and I can't wait to kind of get my hands on this
one. Was that an exclusive?
I don't think so, but we'll double check that. I mean, it's Bethesda, so I don't see why it would have to be Xbox exclusive. But
oh, they said Obsidian was making that, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess maybe there will be it's turn-based with action menus.
The gameplay screens I've seen, it looked like classic 2D Final Fantasy battles for a battle system. So
would you be okay with that?
Absolutely. Especially because you know that they're going to poke fun at the kind of gaming tropes of those types of games. And I think that's where the humor is going to take off for me, is just when it's going to be poking fun at itself. So it was and there was a few good South Park jokes in there. And
the Jews can't be saviors, Kyle.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
We need a savior. Oh,
you're in the role of the new kid in town, and to become cool, you have to embark on this quest with them. So it's good enough plot line as any.
Yeah. Well, and it looks like anything goes with it. You know, like they're not going to be constrained by anything, and they're going to be able to. It looks entertaining. I don't know if it'll be a fun game, though. You know what I mean? Like, it just looks a little bit, I don't know. I don't like that kind of gameplay, but I think you're right if it kind of makes fun of itself and makes fun of games. Because South Park has kind of done that, but they've done that with movies as well. But if it's focused completely on games, I think that could be pretty funny.
The writing has to be really, really good throughout the entire game. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the
only way that works. If 10% of it isn't good writing, fuck it.
5%.
Okay, wow. Jeez.
Well, if it's an RPG from Obsidian or Bethesda, and that 5% could be hours, so.
Just hope it's not the ending.
Yeah. Wait. I think I misspoke. I think it's a THQ game, not a Bethesda game. I apologize.
No. Oh, okay, yeah. Obsidian is developing it, though, right?
Right. That's why I got confused. So.
Yeah.
My mistake. Cole, what stood out to you?
Oh, wow. Game-wise, I'm going to go with the return of Splinter Cell again. the Black Splinter Cell Blacklist. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like really interesting opening it up in a speaking, whatever they were speaking, in Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever they were. I just think the whole gameplay looked pretty cool, where he was running and capping dudes like crazy.
Yeah,
it's kind of a lot of killing.
Marking the guys and then executing.
Yeah, and I know like in the last game they had that mark as execution system, but it looks a lot more
fluid,
advanced and fluid and on the move and not static this time around. So, and I the graphics looked great. I thought like the lighting and everything. And yeah, I've been out on the Splinter Cell series for a long time, and this one looks like it might bring me back a little bit because it's more action based.
Yeah, it looked fun.
Yeah, it looked fun.
Like that's what got me, because I don't play the Splinter Cell games normally because I like the idea of them and I like the story. I like Michael Ironside or whatever, which didn't sound like he's maybe voicing him in this one, but I like, you know, the idea, but I don't ever play them because I don't like that. I mean, the gameplay is not ever fun, and this just looks fun. So I guess they're making it for schmucks like me.
No, I like Splinter Cell Conviction took the kind of turn to go more action based, and like I guess they're still maintaining the. I mean, it's not really stealth gameplay, but there's still some like, you know, solo one man army type of atmosphere to it that it doesn't strike me as pure action, but the way it's presented is more presented like in a movie. Like it started reminding me of Uncharted as far as how the action is really fluid, and if you can kind of maintain your momentum, it just looks like a movie. And that's kind of what I got from those execution moves. But because I was like, you know, kind of cheering them on and excited by it, but wondering, okay, well, how difficult is that going to be to pull off? And
right.
And, you know, it's kind of – at least they're not necessarily – there's been some controversy lately around the Hitman Absolution, that game, and the way they're promoting that as not really a stealth game. And both these stealth – I think the stealth franchises are having the same problem the horror franchises are, and that they're just not getting the same kind of numbers as their action counterparts. So they're all kind of going this action direction, but there's something less egregious about Splinter Cell's transformation into more action than particularly Hitman. That stood out to me.
So we're leaving out the real reason this showed up at this conference, which is the amazing Kinect integration. I think this is maybe the first time in a video game you can troll the AI enemies.
Hey, you.
Yeah, the guy's like, hey, the guy's like hanging. Sam Fisher's hanging from the ledge, and there's a terrorist, and he's on the other side doing a patrol, and he says something. He's like, hey, and the guy hears it and walks over to the ledge, and he pulls him off. Man, I'm gonna be saying hey. The worst things.
Well, you never played Manhunt. You got to shout at guys in Manhunt.
Oh, you did.
It was like never like specific, but it was just like you could make noise to get their attention. So you could do whatever you wanted, but you had on the headset, and that's what it reminded me of. And
I don't know, they had headsets back when that game
came out. Oh yeah.
Still, I really hope that you can say different things and somehow they would react. I know that this won't happen, but if you could say certain things, you'd be like, "What the? Who the fuck said that?
Asshole!"
So I think, like, regardless of Splinter Cell's history and my history with it, like as an action game, this looks really interesting to me. I think I might give it a shot. But I also kind of feel bad for actual Splinter Cell stealth fans because they've been kind of left without that for a bit. So,
well, it kind of looked like to me that you could probably choose which sure. route you wanted to go to. Because I mean, he was definitely showing the action side off, but you know, there was definitely quiet moments in there too where he could pick one by one.
Oh yeah, you know they're gonna have plenty of that stealth stuff.
Yeah.
That E3 audience wasn't gonna understand any stealth. They're like, you know, Michael Bay it up, dude.
They're gonna start chanting boring.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
I'm gonna use that to who the fuck is this E3 audience? Like, I am really confused based on, like, you're starting with Halo and Splinter Cell, and I think I kind of get it. But where Microsoft went everywhere else, where to diverge first? Let's end on the high note. So how about, like, all the focus on sports as far as, I mean, how many years are we going to have to endure the selling of a motion gaming device as a fitness device? Like, now Nike Plus is heavy into this, and they're trying to sell all of your, you know, your Nike Plus points across actual physical activities and plus the ones that you do on the Kinect. And, you know, are those the same people that are watching the earlier stuff, or are these presentations just supposed to be taken in pieces? Or I'm not really sure who they're trying to appeal to across the board.
I think every single person that does a presentation is appealing to a completely different demographic. Like, I think it's going to be random throughout the whole time. I don't know. It's not. I'm not it. I don't. Are you guys? Do you guys feel like maybe you are the audience?
I guess I don't. Well, then why do this like one big press conference? Like, it is. That's what it always feels like. Like, each segment is targeted for a different person, but like no one's tuning in that way. And for some reason, it really bugged me when the focus on the sports hit, just because this was like centered around some of the technology advancements, as far as like they also talked about more Bing search options, and then they get into the kind of the bigger smart glass stuff, which we'll talk about later. But it was just I you know, and before that is Fable the Journey. The pacing of it was really odd to me.
All over the place.
You know what I think see is them do like, you know, when they have the press conference, sometimes in like an arena. I don't know what this was in, but put the like two different stages on one side facing one side of the arena it's like all the games, and put on the other side to connect and all the other bullshit. And then you can go to either one and see like how many people show up to which one, and then go, oh, told you so.
Especially at E3 when it's mostly gaming press. Like, yeah, they're not really interested. If you know, if you've seen some of them, they're not really interested in Nike Plus Fitness.
There was a moment that I was watching, and it was like they were trying to dazzle the casual person who casually likes entertainment, you know, and just kind of, you know, a conglomeration of games and music. And it was almost like they kept kind of going back to them. Like, they'd show a cool trailer and they would say, hey, look at this. This is neat. This is a new kind of neat thing that we can do with this technology. So, again, And obviously, they're, you know, gaming journalists aren't casual gamers in the least. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where I was kind of thrown off, because I was like, okay, like if my wife was watching this, she may think some of that is kind of cool, you know, or if somebody that just, again, wanted an awesome multimedia center and kind of like games, they would probably think it was cool. But me, it was just too disjointed to be anything but in, you know, no, I don't know.
I can't figure out if it's supposed to be. Are they trying to appeal to the person that is watching this live and watching the whole thing?
Right, right.
Or are they intending for this to be an archived video that people pull out pieces from?
Well, the thing for me is, like you said, like, you know, Ethan, is your wife going to sit down and watch the live press conference? Why can't that stuff just be in a news article that she reads in, you know, off the AP wire or something, you know? Or if it's really that big of news, she'll read it in the Indianapolis Star. About it, you know.
Yeah, the people that are going to watch this don't give a shit about that stuff. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. What if you snippet it up? I mean, if you cut it up, I mean, again, like I let them drone on, and I was like, okay, this is, you know, I kind of went back to what I was doing on my other screen, you know. So I don't know, it's just really weird. But that's how E3's kind of been, though, you know. Like, I didn't really expect anything outside of that. I wasn't like, oh, this is gonna be so fun to watch, because realistically, it's not, you know. But it's just an important thing to do, obviously, to be up on things. But I mean, again, there was big gaps that I was just like, okay.
I think I was just thrown off more so. Like, I felt like they've been, at least Microsoft's have been better sectioned off. Like, this is the core gamer section. This is the casual gamer. This is the Xbox dashboard section. And then this is our third party section. But this was just kind of all over the place. Kind of capped off with, did you guys know that we were getting a free concert during this? Because.
Yeah.
I raised the roof.
Yeah, baby.
I think. Yeah,
baby.
I screamed.
It was real sweaty. I don't know if you watched it in HD, but there was a lot of sweat. And what the hell? Dude, Usher must have just been painting his house, like, right before he came. Did you see how he had paint splatters all over his jacket?
That style, dude. That's a new style.
Was anybody surprised by his intro video cue to live performance? How awesome was that? Like, hey, check it out right here.
They're right now.
At that point, I was still confused because the title they revealed his full name as Usher Raymond. And
right, yeah.
I was like, who are you?
Yeah.
Well, again, it's Usher. And then Usher's gonna dance, and they did the whole damn song, and like, I was like, who is stuck with this long enough to, this is their highlight. They are, you know, Usher was trying to get the crowd going at one point, trying to get the nerds to stand up, but
in the defense of that little catastrophe, the cool part was when they did sync up like
the Dance Central,
with his performance, I thought was pretty cool.
But Usher himself is just, I don't know who gets excited about Usher anymore. So then that's where I was completely lost, is that not only has this been disjointed, but now you're bringing out somebody who was pretty cool like 5 years ago for the most part. And then now he's doing something that's, I don't know, I don't like Usher that much at all. And Usher Raymond was from like the late 90s. And so, yeah, that was confusing to me. And I just imagine like a couple 35-year-olds in the audience were like, oh, yeah, he's back. The Usher is back. No, he just took his last name off and he became a new person, you know? I don't know.
I can't help but be disappointed that he got tired so early into the routine. You could hear it when he would try to sing. He was getting a little bit out of breath. He would end his sentences a little short.
I don't think that venue was ready for a concert.
Also,
to cover up that stuff.
What the hell? Also,
why was he grabbing his crotch like Michael Jackson?
Oh, because he
was a lot of that. Yeah,
homage.
I know, but still,
he is Michael Jackson. I mean, he that's his big thing. That's what. Yeah, I never liked Usher, fucking guy. A couple of his songs were okay, but he just, you know, I don't know.
I thought him cupping his junk was just a shout out to Dawn Guard.
So I should be afraid I'd give myself a boner if I kept doing that. I don't know. And then that would be awkward for everybody, because already the whole conference was awkward. And then Usher's got a fucking boner in front of everybody.
I don't think you could get a boner in front of that many people.
Oh, you could.
I don't know that many people.
You don't remember swim class in middle school? Every single time, like clockwork. Every single time. And I wasn't even grabbing my crotch.
You were in the water. You thought you were safe. That's totally different than being on stage.
I was going to see. Ethan, come demonstrate the breaststroke. Okay, I will. No, do it on dry land so people can really see
on
it.
On stage in front of all these people.
Yeah. It was bad.
And as a Dance Central fan, though, I was kind of confused because I didn't really get a sense of what the new features were from that. So I didn't get anything out of it other than, wow, Usher's still on, and yes, it's cool that Usher's in the game, and that makes sense for a dancing game, but
right.
Like, it really didn't feel like the it was more of an announcement of the game than and that was it. I couldn't get anything else from it. So
the new feature is he will come to your house and play this game with you. If you unlock the cheat code for that, he will come and hang out with you because Usher has nothing better to do right now. Like, really, like, I think he actually asked to be featured on this. So
he just had an album. That's why he's making the rounds.
Guys, can I show up? I'll put my last name back on my name. I swear to God, I will.
I don't think these celebrities are begging Microsoft for them to get to show up at E3.
I don't know. Usher, man.
Joe Montana might have. I don't know.
We want to talk about Joe Montana.
Yeah,
talk about the EA Sports stuff and how EA Sports were the first ones to use the better with Kinect slogan. And apparently all that means is that all of this great motion capturing technology, really it's just a microphone that everybody's excited about because they were just talking about how voice commands in FIFA and Madden are going to make it better.
Didn't the GameCube already have that? Didn't they use that for Animal Crossing? Wasn't it really exciting?
Still the Wii speak, but it's pretty that close.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't. But they had to. Like, what else are they going to do with these sports games? Like, you know, like FIFA's actually a pretty solid, you know, franchise right now. But Madden has to do something. So they're like, well, the Kinect. Let's just have you yell at it.
I got news for you. This ain't it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that has saved them, but they had to do something.
No, they literally they were forced to integrate Kinect in some way, and this is the let's face it, voice is the most unobtrusive way to fix it in. And hey, the only thing if the Kinect has done anything for me, it has brought up memories of Joe Montana Sports Talk Football, and that was a positive moment in my E3 history this year. And he almost seemed kind of in on the joke that he knew that was the only reason he was out there. That was the reason Montana was chosen.
There's no way he was actually playing that.
Unless it's really that delayed because he was.
And he's not that successful at playing Madden. I bet he's never played Madden before.
Well, okay, so he's playing Madden as the current San Francisco 49ers. So I'm sure he's a huge fan of Alex Smith.
Yeah.
For one. And then
that's why he ran plays with Frank Gore every time.
I was going to say two out of three plays plus the touch, including the touchdown, were running plays. And I was like, I'm glad you brought the quarterback out to make that happen.
They should have had him play with the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, where they sent Canada to die.
This presentation did come with a pretty good message, which is that your grandpa can play Madden now.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. Oh, wait. He died. Never mind.
Oh, not yours. I was not you. It was the general.
Personally mine. Oh, right. Oh.
Ethan, did you have a highlight you wanted to bring to our
attention? I don't know. You could probably guess. They actually showed two Call of Duty games, and I couldn't decide which one I was more excited about. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 or Call of Duty Resident Evil 6.
come on.
I'm going to go with Evil 6. Because no. In all seriousness, you know, we've talked. I've given in to the fact that this is turning into an action game, and holy shit, is it an action game? I thought 5 had gone above and beyond what Resident Evil was ever about, but this trailer, I said holy shit a couple different times, and not in a sarcastic way. Like, it just looks so freaking action packed. We find out now that this mercenary who's been in these trailers is actually Wesker's son, which is cool. I like that. You know, the gameplay, I kind of like this little jump on my back feature because I would have never thought about that, you know, and it's kind of cool how you can kind of, again, the thing with zombies is you got to keep your distance, and that's going to give you a little bit more distance, though. What's going to happen when you're, you know, on your back and you have to get back up? The martial arts, that's great. You know, I don't know. Damn, it's
how's the anyone else,
like the first didn't Ethan didn't the first like 90% of that trailer looked like Resident Evil 4 kind of action, and it had classic zombies and stuff, and you were kind of pumped for it.
Yeah.
Until the road started exploding.
Until the Michael Bay explosions happened.
Yeah, I mean, and it got out of control. I'm not gonna lie, it did get out of control, but I think because I've given into it. I'm okay. I know Resident Evil is not gonna come back to the old school way of doing things. I feel like this, just like with Black Ops 2, you're either all in or you're going to fuck up the game. And I think they have gone all in, and it looks exciting, and there's airplanes, there's cities.
It looked fantastic. Even just graphically speaking, it looked like, I don't know what kind of video effect they had overlaying it, but just the lighting and the colors, and it was really striking to me for some reason, just especially around the running up like the exploding cars and jumping into the helicopter type of stuff. That was it looked fantastic, and I liked the way that, even though I wasn't totally following some of the button prompts for the QuickTime events, they looked slick, so like lots of style, which was kind of cool. And I think Ethan, they revealed the Wesker Jr. stuff in an earlier trailer, so
yeah.
Unless I heard that someplace else.
Well, no, I mean it was rumored up until that point because people were trying to guess who it was, but he actually literally said in this trailer, hey, did you know that, Wesker's my dad? You know, like something along those lines, which, it's kind of like pretty direct, and I wouldn't tell Leon.
I was going to say, did you know you probably shouldn't tell me that?
You know, your dad and I have some history, and it's not great history. But the only bad thing I have one issue with this game. And I think I saw a smattering of chase scenes, and I hate vehicular chase scenes in games where they don't belong. I don't know. I hope they do something good with that. But again, that was almost that level that they almost crossed the line a little bit with that.
I don't know. I think that's just the trailer, like presenting an action-packed trailer. I look back at a lot of people a year or so ago had a lot of trouble with some of the turret sequences and the Mass Effect 3 stuff they were showing, and that ended up being a really, really minor part of the game. And I think,
yeah, I hope so. Exactly. Yeah, I definitely hope so. But again, I don't know, man. That's a balls of the wall game. Like, I think the people that started liking Resident Evil, it's a completely different group now. And I would be interested to see if the people that get Resident Evil 6 as their first Resident Evil game, if they look back in time and go, what the hell was that? If they view it the way that we kind of view it now, is that it's completely changed. It's completely different. I mean, I wonder if the new Resident Evil players could actually go back and play those games. And I'm okay if they couldn't, because again, this is a new generation, but I'm sweaty talking.
It's turning into the movies.
It is.
Not as bad.
I saw I was following a lot of this on Twitter for the first time. Usually I shut Twitter off while I'm watching these conferences, but somebody actually mentioned, like, man, I just wish they would go back to the classic action style of Resident Evil 4. And I'm like, there's that crowd out. Crowd out there too. That I was like, wow, that's their Resident Evil.
That's exactly what it showed for most of that press conference demo. Like, that looked like Resident Evil 4.
I thought the action was amped up enough that it seemed more like 5, but
there was a dive and a roll. Everything else looked like it was straight out of 4. The shooting,
he was moving and shooting.
He's moving and shooting now. I mean, it's more methodical. Like, I mean, 4 was a lot more methodical. Like, I went back and played 4 a little bit while ago. Even between 4 and 5, it felt a little bit quicker. And this looks even quicker. So yeah. I'm glad they're sticking to that. But I mean, it's going to be a faster paced game. It looks like there's a lot more enemies.
They've said that the Leon sections are going to be that slower. They're trying to go for the Resident Evil 4 stuff with Leon, and on the Chris Redfield side or with the other guy, whatever, they're going to be a little. It's like more actiony and whatnot. Huh. So
that'd be. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all. I'd be really curious to see how this comes out. So.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be split into sections too, that you can play in any order, right? Because that's the impression I got, that you play through all these and there's like a conclusion where everybody comes together. I think that's how they did
the 3DS game too. Is that right, Josh?
No, you don't choose the order in that.
Okay,
it jumps around in the story, but
I must have heard it about Resident Evil 6 then.
Well, I could be, and I could be wrong, but that's the impression I got, is that there's this conclusion that comes into it. So, but hey, did they say anything about? It said 6-player co-op a while back when it first got announced. I didn't really notice anything on that.
No, I didn't see anything about that.
I was just, I was still in action movie mode. I wasn't reading things.
So this game looks, this game looks so dumb. I'm going to pre-order.
Pre-order. Yeah. All right, going to take a little bit of break from the games. Let's talk about the tech side of the Xbox presentation. I'm going to run these down. Let me know if I miss anything, and then we'll cover the highlights here. But I did talk about a little bit. They focused on the Xbox Bing Kinect search stuff and integrated the integrated Spanish into the search. And Xbox continues to bring more entertainment options, and so they announced their deals with Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and more ESPN stuff. They also announced the Xbox Music Service. Didn't really get into too much detail there. Then Internet Explorer is coming to the Xbox, and for those worried about how to navigate that, they did announce Xbox Smart Glass, which was kind of a rumor there for a while, that connects the Xbox with tablet devices on all the different operating systems. So, and along those same slides, a lot of Windows 8 integration. And I think the one that stole the show here, and the one worth talking about, even though I will argue that all the demos of the functionality are stupid, the smart glass stuff is pretty awesome and very smart on Microsoft's behalf to address the fact that Windows 7 phones and Windows 8 tablets don't really have the market value right now where people actually own those. So integrating with iOS device was kind of a big deal.
That was cool of them. Yeah.
Do you think that they would have done this if the Wii U hadn't been announced last year?
I think so. I think all the companies were experimenting with something like that. I mean, you don't just sit idly by and watch tablets grow the way they have without figuring out a way to, you know, when you're trying to take over the living room, you've got to make use of the other devices that people have. And I think that's the difference here for me between this and the Wii U, is that they can use third-party devices and not have to. So.
Well, and this is really just a smooth all-in-one amalgamation of all these different technologies we've seen for a while, which is like Apple's got the AirPlay thing. So you can send your shit from your iPad to your Apple TV. Then you've got you could also, like, with, say, XBMC, which I've talked about on our shows before, as the interface to hook up to your TV with – you can install it on a computer, a bunch of other stuff too. You could control that with basically a mouse and keyboard interface from your iPhone or an iPad. There's an app for that. So, like, that's a thing that you've been able to do for a while. And then the whole, like, separate – app, like what they were showing, the Halo Waypoint app, and like just showing live data feeding from Halo 4, like while you're playing it, like it updates stuff in the, you know, from the game, and then that, like, you're watching Game of Thrones and you get a map of Westeros that updates where the people are during the episode.
Is it weird that I instantly had fatigue for the people that, like, make the support stuff for Game of Thrones? I was like, what a pain in the ass. Yeah,
like every episode it has to change. Like, if you're watching episode 3, then we gotta update where these people are. And yeah, that seemed.
I mean, regardless of people, like, if people are actually going to watch this way, like, are you really going to, I don't know, try to get the behind-the-scenes stuff while you're watching the show? I don't know, but it's, like that's kind of where I say all the demos were kind of dumb. But this is another big step forward for Microsoft, and just everything that they've been releasing from, like, the Kinect on and all the dashboard updates on the Xbox 360, I feel like it's just Microsoft experimenting because they can, and they've done a lot with the 360, and that's why I continue to be impressed with the fact that compared to what the day one Xbox 360 had feature set-wise versus what we're going to get, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah.
And that they're just, you know, kind of experimenting, and whatever the next console is gets to kind of benefit from all of these experiments. So, and I honestly did not expect to see Internet Explorer on the 360. But it makes a lot more sense if you're using a touchpad to navigate. So that's
And they didn't just show you using your hand to move the mouse. Like, I thought, I was like, oh, here we go, use and Kinect, that, and like, oh, they didn't. Holy shit, a mouse. Yes.
Yeah, this stuff basically kind of counteracts all that Kinect stuff. Like, this I will browse with. Not, I'm going to wave my arms at the thing, but if I have, you know, a nice little tablet surface to use, absolutely.
So now we have pop-up video on a tablet, essentially, with all these added features. Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. Background information. I don't know. I think it's too much information, man. Too much information.
It's all optional, Ethan.
I know, but it's just – but it's not.
But it's also a necessary upgrade. Like,
it's like DVD special features. It's optional, but it's always going to get you in there. And now you're going to know everything about everything. And like, everyone's going to be so smart. And I won't be.
I mean, I still won't. It's this stuff you tune out after, you know, 6 months of using the stuff.
But I love pop-up video. I'm going to use it, and I'm not going to get anything done because I'm going to watch the episode, and then I'm going to watch all the facts, and then every time I have a conversation with someone, I'm like, did you know that everyone's going to be really annoying after all this shit. Like, we're all going to be really annoying, but we'll be a lot better at Jeopardy.
And you can be the Xbox smart ass instead. Can I? Cole, what were you going to say?
Shit. No, I remember now. There hasn't been really any gameplay shown of this except for like that Madden thing. There was like a little Madden demo. It looked like you were playing from the tablet.
Yeah.
And that looked like not a good way to play Madden.
I mean, that was more concept-y than a lot of others, so, but the fact that you could like draw and edit a play was that just as a like, you know, as a fact, that was kind of cool.
Well, I'm just gonna say quick. There's no fucking way I'm gonna pick up my tablet. I'm gonna put down my controller, pick up my tablet, put it back down, and pick my controller up again. No way.
Exactly. Well, that's what I thought happened. I was like, oh, okay. So because I was thinking that the entire time we started drawing the play, I was like, so he's picked up his tablet, he's drawing the play, he saves it, cool. And then I'm looking, okay, then he's picked up his controller, but no, he kept playing
the whole time.
And I think it's like almost like, you know, maybe the people that play, you know, these EA Sports games in manager mode, maybe that's ideal for them.
Well, I think the tablet could be useful if you're doing a play editor kind of mode, but not calling an audible, drawing a new route for the guy, and then keep playing with your tablet. Like, I think that's where maybe that they're getting a little ahead of themselves in terms of, like,
I think
we all know how bad touchscreens control games. You know, you need.
Yeah.
I mean, you need like the fidelity of a joystick or a D-pad.
It also opens up. Like, when I look at the Kinect now, and, you know, they've been pressing that you don't have to use a controller, but, you know, we're going to start seeing games that use both. And then that kind of covers their bases with what the Wii was doing, that you kind of have two options. And this, I actually interpreted that Madden thing as kind of a shot at the Wii U, that, you know, we can cover our bases here too. Like, right now, we don't have your specialized Wii U controller, but we could do that. We could sell a tablet that was specialized in that, but we also don't need that if you're just using the touchscreen. So it's casting a bit of a wide net, and I get excited about that stuff, even though you know, this year more than most, the demos just kind of fell flat for me. So,
you know, another thing that kind of surprised me with this, all this like added stuff, is like, it's got to carry over to the next console, because why would they waste so much time on this stuff if it's just for 1 year? You know, it's like, it seems like they're adding all this stuff for basically another year, maybe two. Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, like, Microsoft seems to be in experimenting mode to see what can work for their next console at this point.
And no, and absolutely no mention of or teasing of a new console at all. So right. I thought that was
good.
I kind of expected something, just continued moment.
Not halfway through, I thought maybe, like, you know what? Nope, they're not even going to talk about it, because once again, they're essentially turning the Xbox into an upgraded version of itself just by adding software features. I mean, they keep doing this. Kinect, they did it with Kinect, but that was obviously a piece of hardware. But the way it integrates with the dashboard and all that kind of stuff, and it's like, you know, you got the arcade stuff, and then you get the Netflix, and then, you know, rent movies and buy games, and it's like they keep adding all this extra shit, and UFC pay-per-views, and now it's got ESPN.
Can you add too much? I mean, it seems like
there's an end game here. Imagine if this is won't happen, but what if the next Xbox had every one of them had a good size hard drive, and you know, right now you can use it as a set-top box with a couple providers. Say that expands, which they're working on, and it would also be a DVR. So now you don't need the cable box at all. Then what if it had a Blu-ray drive?
An all-in-one box.
Won't happen, but what if it had a Blu-ray drive? Then that E3 is when Microsoft goes, and here is your new entertainment center, and it's one little shelf, and there's your Xbox 720, and nothing else. And the message will be, throw away all your other shit because you only need this one thing. That's the end game. That's what they want.
Well, and they got to have some kind of new disc medium because it's not – they can't do DVDs anymore.
No,
well,
yeah.
I don't think cartridge. They need one because there won't be yes. discs. I mean, we're almost done with discs.
I don't know.
No. There's too many people that don't have the internet or not yep. hooked up.
Too much bandwidth.
Well, then they don't count. Get them out of here.
Well, I mean, I agree, Ethan, but
yeah, no, I don't know. It's about time that we draw the line. If you don't have the internet,
I was gonna say you thought
have a fast internet speed.
You thought I was upset about yeah. Diablo 3. You haven't met all these other people.
Oh, five yeah, disc changer. That's it. Carousel.
Oh.
Every game comes with five DVDs.
Stay with DVD. Yeah, stay with DVDs. Five disc carousel.
I'm just excited that if my football coach ever comes over from high school, he can draw plays while I play a game that I won't ever play. So that's kind of an exciting.
I have a question. ESPN, did you guys pick up? Were they actually saying you can literally watch the channel on your Xbox 24/7?
That's what it seemed like.
Well, they had a bunch of all kinds of the NBA games that you're going to be able to get. I mean, it just seems like. From a sports fan perspective, you could buy an Xbox and get a lot out of it because
they showed Monday Night Football on it. I was like, what? Right.
That's ESPN. So
I know that's what I'm saying, but like normally you can watch that though, right? On just ESPN3 or whatever they call it. Doesn't have shit. Yeah. It's got like some obscure.
I bet you still have like
Canadian
cable
basketball.
Because how are you going to have ESPN like all the ESPNs without cable companies being really
always,
pissed off?
Yeah, that always struck me as odd that. Yeah, I mean, I think this is just the natural upgrade of we're all getting used to we have to have the cable service to get any of this stuff. But why not open up the regular ESPN stuff, not just the ESPN3?
Go ahead, Ethan.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, do you think this is just kind of the cable companies kind of saying, look, we've got to figure something out. We need to partner up with these guys. I mean, you've got HBO sure. Go, you've got that kind of stuff. I mean, it's time for them to jump on board because, you know, we're – at this point, I mean, we're close. I mean, not close, but I mean, there's a good possibility that cable, as we know it, is going to be gone. You know, and you're going to have these kind of entertainment, you know, boxes, if you will, that everything is going to come in through those. And I mean, I think that makes sense because right now, I mean, I realize I watch 75% to 80% of all of my television, quote unquote, on a computer or a game console. So it's almost like. Now they're trying to push for in some of these features of casual gamer, non-casual gamer, and non-gamer completely. This is going to apply to you, and you're going to be able to get some benefit out of this.
Well, that's the thing that amazes me so much about having all the ESPN stuff and all that sports stuff is like they're giving you a reason to cut the cable because that's really like you can get every show online for the most part except for live sports, and now it seems like they're adding that. So cable companies have to be pretty. Scared of well,
yeah but, the, but some of that stuff you have to have a cable subscription for like HBO right. Go
that's why I'm doing that
or you right. have to buy but, you have to buy the you know
but
the
not ESPN.
MLB thing or whatever well
they said not ESPN, they didn't say that's what I was saying.
Well, I mean you don't have to right now and there's
well,
a
yeah
lot
but yeah but they're that. Talking about it was what sounded like the full channel live 24/7 they said all the shows live and they showed like some sports shit they showed Monday Night Football it's like are they going to just black out other kind of programming the show like it sounds like the full channel if that's the case the cable companies would be super pissed so
yeah.
But what if you could just use like one login from Comcast or Bright House or something and throw it in on your Xbox and now you can just stream all the content from all these you know major cable networks but pick when you want to watch it and all that kind of stuff like you would just call Comcast and be like hey I want to buy the account. I don't need your cables or your box. Like,
and they had that with UVerse for a while. You could use the 360 as a UVerse box, and I mean that's kind of where this is going. But I think it's a larger conversation. I don't really want to get too much further into it tonight. But we can definitely there'll be plenty of time to talk about that down the road. Let's steer this back to games as we kind of wrap this up. I'm going to kind of go over kind of the low light games, and then I've got two others I want to feature. But they showed trailers for Hold On To Your Butts, Fable the Journey, still Ooh. Exists.
I thought you were going to say Jurassic Park.
yeah, I was too.
I didn't even react to it. So,
no, me neither.
Okay. I think I only react to it from who thought this was a good idea. Like, I really...
Didn't show the horse. Don't care.
Didn't stroke the horse. And then they showed the teaser trailer for Gears of War Judgment. We haven't been able to react to that. So people can fly, the developers behind Bulletstorm and shit. Help me, Josh. What was the PC shooter?
Painkiller.
Huh? Painkiller, sorry. That they're developing the next Gears of War game, and it's somewhat a prequel. There's still a lot of details to be filled in, and they didn't show any gameplay. I'm hoping it's a first person shooter in the Gears of War universe, but nope. We shall see.
That won't happen.
We don't have enough first person shooters on the market.
Yeah.
It's Cole and Baird.
RPG,
yeah.
I'm down.
Man, well, I'd rather have that than a first-person shooter. I mean, to have maybe a tactical a tactical game. That would be awesome. Make that happen.
Good tactics. You don't have Final Fantasy Tactics.
You don't have people. Yeah. You don't have people can fly to develop your tactics.
I do.
I'm somewhat. I don't want another just straight up Gears of War game. So that's why I'm saying. I'm holding out hope that it's at least a first-person shooter to be a little bit different and maybe more action-oriented, because that would be...
it's really funny, because it's Colin Baird. I hope it's just over the top, and it's just hilarious and a little more lighthearted.
That's Judgment. Judgment. That subtitle doesn't lend itself to your idea.
Holding out hope.
Forza Horizon. I've never played Forza, so that exists.
Yeah, cars.
Then they started talking about some of their other developer partnerships. Ascend, New Gods. That trailer was interesting. Yeah. Then they showed Twisted Pixels, Twisted Pixels new joint, who apparently wants to tell the story of Tron Light Cycles in their game Loco Cycle. It was just a teaser trailer, but kind of interesting.
They talked about this motorcycle as if it was this like female assassin with the new jiu-jitsu and was killed.
Spoke people. 50 languages.
Yeah, right. And then first thing I thought of was Heat Vision and Jack. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good.
No one? Okay, so yeah, like talking motorcycle. I thought that might be fun.
I got a kick out of it. Just... Twisted Pixel combined with how they presented that. And then Microsoft has teamed with Gore Verbinski, and they kind of prepped his Pirates of the Caribbean credentials for this unbelievable connected venture called Matter that looks like Marble Madness.
Starring Wheatley.
Yeah. Marble Madness meets Portal.
Marble Madness.
I have no idea what to make of this and why you need Gore Verbinski to bring this to life.
Really.
Why not? Him
to... why did you need Spielberg for Boom Blocks?
Yeah.
Well, he had a... I mean, yeah. No, you're right. Well, I mean, if you've got that kind of money, just, like, tag people to things, you know? Like, it's a marble game, or it's a Boom Blocks. Just put someone real famous to it. You know, I would like Keanu Reeves to be in something. Just put his name on it.
Just in general. In something.
Yeah. Yeah, where's he been?
He could be the voice of Xbox Smart Glass.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because everything you do is, whoa.
Search Bing. Whoa.
And then actually a Kinect game that looks kind of fun. But there is no way we're going to have as much fun as... This was really the only awkward demonstration or awkward presenter for Wrecketeer, the kind of crush the castle... Cannonball, Boombox, Kinect, Angry Birds action game, slingshotting or shooting cannonballs into castles full of explosives and goblins and
flapping your arms like an idiot.
Yes, and to steer these balls of destruction. But
I'm excited about that. Yeah. I love those kind of games.
That'd be fun. Yeah,
I love Boombox, so why not?
This game looked awful.
Dumb.
Didn't
it's
do it
dumb,
any
but
service.
It looks like entertaining.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't. It looks boring as hell.
It'd be a good party game.
And even the destruction doesn't even look satisfying. What the hell were you guys watching?
I like the concept more, but I'm not too worried about the execution at this point. I'll play the demo and
I take it back. Sorry, Josh.
Looks terrible.
I
thought this was the worst game they showed. Also, I'm glad they did this presentation because it proved that. Sucking at a press conference is a gender neutral activity.
All right. And only because I refuse to close on this game, this will be our second to last one. But so they closed with that Call of Duty game, the Black Ops 2 one.
And computers. Robots.
And guess what? Exclusive DLC once again.
You know, I went on.
No surprise there.
Yeah, that was the only reason I got in the conference, I think. But one, I was curious as to why they didn't open with this and close like swap this in Halo 4. I think Halo 4 would have been a good closer. And like everything that I've said, that I, you know, I'm kind of hopeful that, you know, Black Ops 2 might be somewhat different and fun to play as far as some of the changes they've been making. None of that was really shown in the trailer for me. It was just definitely military shooter fatigue. So.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a Call of Duty, and then it showed the worst parts too. I thought they kind of, it was like a, here's like a turret section where where you're shooting at some drones and like you hold the button down, lock onto six things, and it shoots six missiles because it's the future. Like, what the hell? It was everything was computers. So like, I don't know.
The tactical side of it looked exactly like Crysis 2. I mean, that was one thing that I kind of saw, because that was what they kind of talked about. Like, oh, you know, like you're gonna have this new fangled way to approach combat. I was like, oh, Crysis 2. Yeah, they did that. Yeah, remember? Like, so I don't know. I was a little bit underwhelmed at the end.
Yeah, it went on forever. It went on forever.
It was long.
Yeah.
I like the perfect dark gun. That was good.
Again, this was another one of my. This is right after the Usher concert that they show this. Like, who are these people that you think are just pumped up for your press conference? I don't get it. But I want to close with the game I'm probably most excited about for next year, since it just got delayed. Tomb Raider looks incredible. And even though I'm really feeling bad for Laura, because Laura and her voice actor, because they're just beating the shit out of her to an uncomfortable degree.
It's abuse.
Yeah, it's bad. But
this looked awesome.
Yeah, it did.
I
was pumped for this.
Like, Way better than last year's demo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was kind of wowed by the graphics last year, but the action kind of got me this year. And there's been jokes about this being the year of the bow. There are so many bows in all of the game trailers so far. I think Laura's bow is pretty damn effective and one of the – probably my top use of the bow at this point.
She has different arrows.
Yeah. Fire arrows.
Yeah. She's like Green Arrow or Hawkeye.
Sounds like the Hunger Games.
My only question is if tombs are actually going to be involved in this game at all, because they've really just focused on this whole – I'm guessing this is the beginning of the game, like toughening up Laura basically and making her whatever trials they're putting her through before she becomes the grand adventurer. But, you know, there's really no lightheartedness to this at all. It's pretty brutal, which is fine. I'm curious to see, you know, there's a lot of easy direct comparisons to the Uncharted series, but I think pulling off what Uncharted has done is no small feat. So and Crystal Dynamics, certainly they have the potential to be able to do that. But I'm just wondering how well this is actually going to play versus it's presented very well so far.
My favorite studio with the name of a stripper. Love it.
No, I do. I've made kind of rude comments about this game, but I'm actually, this looks pretty cool. It looks gritty. It looks cool. I'm giving it a second chance here, because I don't know. You kind of want to. I mean, Laura Croft is kind of a goofy character, has been up until this point, and this is kind of a really good way to actually make her into a movie character that you'd want to see. You know,
I just wonder. Like, Uncharted gets by with a lot of Nathan Drake snarkiness, but so far there's been no humor whatsoever in Tomb Raider. It's like, am I going to feel beat up after this? And you know, maybe I deserve it.
Yeah,
too.
It does look kind of exhausting. The action looked really good. It was kind of Uncharted-y in the action stuff. But and anybody that thought that Laura was maybe going to be too dainty in this game, throw that right out the window. She just straight up murdering dudes.
She's like John McClane in this game.
Yeah.
She's like there just needs to be a scene where she runs across the bathroom full of glass and she's like the female John McClane.
She just picks it up and eats it.
Yeah.
Spits it at John McClane on the ground.
She still looks good, though. She still looks attractive, no matter how much blood's coming off of her face. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, she makes those like whiny sounds, but it's totally justified when you see this shit happening to her.
It's justified, but it still seems somewhat out of place. I don't know. Like,
parachuting through trees and getting the shit kicked out of you.
I love that.
Falling through a waterfall. It was awesome.
Slamming on the tree, going down a trash river water slide.
I love that scene when she's like, she's in that cockpit of the plane and about to fall through the glass and grabs the parachute at the last second, and the parachute doesn't really open at first, and then she just slamming into trees left and right, and it's like, just end it, man. Just stop beating her up. And
it was a brutal sequence of just like, they're just constantly saying fuck you, Laura. Yeah. you're gonna be rooting for her whole game. Like,
I don't think Crystal Dynamics actually likes making Tomb Raider games. That's what I'm getting from these.
They don't like women.
We have to make this a male protagonist. Fuck this. Yeah, and they also show a lot of physics too. Like look at these barrels. These barrels can roll over guys, or, oh, let's shoot this lamp and it'll drop and set these guys on fire.
Yeah, and the cover was getting destroyed too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we got physics. There was just so much of it to see in that demo was just like, oh, look, here's five different, in one level, here's like five things in a row to show you just to hammer home the point. Like, oh,
and that presenter was super excited about the game as well.
They always
more so than like anybody else. He was just like, you guys are going to like this.
All right, closing thoughts. Any pats on the back for Microsoft or some advice for Microsoft before we take off?
Yeah, I want to say nice job, Phil Spencer. The second time he came out, he had unbuttoned his super, super tight sweater. It was way. It's somebody put that on high heat in a dryer, and that thing was too tiny. And he came back out the second time. It's like, finally, someone backstage is like giving people advice. Like, this is what press conferences need.
I mean, like I said, besides Matt and Trey, there was nobody on stage that made me comfortable. Like, no, I mean, they weren't like Konami, Ubisoft awkward, but they, you know, they weren't engaging at all. So
Usher felt familiar to me.
Even for Usher, that was a subpar Usher performance in all honesty.
You like Usher a lot, don't you?
I'll defend Usher. I don't have anything against Usher. How about that?
Such as last name.
Weird. I was like, who the fuck is Usher Raymond?
Is he married to Jade?
It's like they couldn't get
that's the connection they were going for.
Ethan, advice or thoughts for Microsoft about Microsoft?
I don't know. We've talked about it. Figured out, like, who are you talking to? I'd be curious about that. I don't know advice. Like we've said, I want to know who they wanted to watch that. Mm-hmm. Who is it? That's all I want to know.
Coleman.
Yeah, I think the placement of some of the game trailers, like, and the rest of the crap, was interesting. It was an interesting choice. I kind of think that, you know, they need to either separate, like kind of like Ethan was saying, like, know your audience, separate out stuff that isn't necessarily for the live watchers. But yeah, show more games.
I mean, why not go like multiple shorter press conferences? Go our checkpoint style. Divide it up for the people a little
bit. Yeah, do what we do. Copy something great.
I do want to give, I guess they started the show kind of announcing that they're the number one console worldwide. I'm sure that's based on some specific sales figure, but you know, they kind of find themselves in the lead heading into this transitionary period, so that's kind of cool. But I'm not seeing anything from them where they're taking the lead, or they still feel very complacent, like they've casted wide nets with their technology and they're not kind of stepping out and seizing anything. And I think if they're not too careful, they might repeat some of Sony's mistakes in that regard of just not being aggressive enough. And I would like them to, I'm invested in their platform. So as in that regard, I'd like to see them still continue to push things forward. And I'm kind of getting nervous that they haven't really talked about the future in any respect other than their small little upgrades. And while smart glass is cool, it just, you know, it's not like it was a revolutionary thing. It was more of a, well, if you didn't have this by next year, we'd think you were behind. So it feels like they're just keeping pace, and they need to. I'd like to see them be more aggressive. Right. And so that's going to do it for this episode of the Curse Checkpoint. We'll be back with more E3 coverage very soon. See ya.
Computers.